Jeff, we've already done the introduction for you, so everybody knows all about you and what we're talking about. I just wanted to drop by and talk to you a moment and find out about these lights.
That sounds great.
Tell me a little bit about it. And by the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's great. We've been corresponding by email, and now we have to get some great video as well. And you've been making local television here at this story.
Yes, I have. I've been doing some local news broadcast on these lights here in Phoenix.
Why don't you just start from the first and tell us a little bit about when you first noticed the lights and you feel like, we talked about maybe somebody's following you even.
Did you want me to go back to when I first saw them?
Sure.
Okay. The story is apparently, you know, that there was the Phoenix lights that happened back in March of 1997. And since then, there's been other people out here for the past few years videotaping strange lights. And I had made up my mind that I was going to try to come down to Mesa and try to videotape some myself, you know. So...
Now, come down to Mesa from where? Where were you originally?
Well, I was born here in Phoenix, Arizona, but I've traveled all over the place. I've been to New York, and...
You weren't here in 97 when the big lights were spotted, huh?
Unfortunately, I was working that night, and along with most of the other people, but I did hear about it, and I wasn't... Let's just say my eyes wasn't open to the fact yet. So, I was... I missed it. I was working that night, but I did hear about it, and I was looking for him. And I moved, and then I came back, and I figured, well, if I'm going to stay here, I'm going to go try to find some lights. So I decided to come up here to Mesa to see if I can to catch him. And I wanted an apartment.
But before you go any further, why don't you explain to everyone why you decided to come to Mesa?
Well, because that's where all the sightings seem to be taking place. Mesa, Gilbert, Chandler, and sometimes in Tempe. The lady that videotaped the Phoenix lights, her name is Dr. Lynn. She lives in Paradise Valley. And she said that when she was videotaping them, they would come back like every once a year. But there was a guy making a newscast like at least once a month. And he was living in Gilbert, and he was seeing them almost on a weekly basis. So I just put two and two together. Hey, this lady in Paradise Valley, she's got to wait a year. This guy in Gilbert, he's getting them on a weekly basis. So I wasn't able to get an apartment in Gilbert, so I settled for Mesa. But I knew which way to look. I knew that the lights were going on around the southeastern. You know, right on the south side of Phoenix. So I just kept looking south. You know, when I first got here, I figured, well, I'm going to sit here for a year and not see anything. And lo and behold, within a week and a half, my son and I was sitting out on the porch, and I just happened to look up, and I saw one that was seemed to be very close, and then two way far in the back. And as the two in the back was moving, they were going towards the mountain. They were going towards South Mountain. We had two lights going east, and then they lost my view, and they went away. And then two more came in, lost my view, and then they were going south again towards the mountain. Well, I got that on tape, and I was like, wow, this is something. This is really amazing. Excuse me. I went out there the next night to try to see him again, and there was some kind of fire out there. There was an unexplained fire, according to the news, and I didn't see anything. There wasn't any lights that night, so I came back the next night, and I live next to a train track, and they had put some train cars blocking my view, and I couldn't see. Well, my adrenaline got pumping, and something was telling me, look, you got to get out there. There is something going on. You need to go out there. So
you could feel it, huh?
I could feel it, yes. Yeah. You know, I could feel that there was something, you know, that I was going to miss. So I grabbed my kid. I said, Josh, let's go. He says, where are we going? I said, well, let's keep going south. You know, let's just go try to find a place somewhere where there's not any trees. where there's not any buildings that I could clearly see, you know, the open sky. Well, lo and behold, after about an hour's walking, we walked kind of far, we ran into this schoolyard, and it had a set of bleachers about, I don't know, 8 steps high. It wasn't very high off the ground, but it was in between. It was looking south, and there was 2 trees that was one to the right, one to the left, and then open sky. We sat there for 2 hours, and it was getting kind of late. My son wanted to go home, so I figured, okay, well, maybe they're not going to show up tonight. And just as we were leaving, I happened to look up, and I saw one orange ball turn into 2 orange balls. And I got that on tape, and it's an eerie kind of thing, but my son said, hey, isn't this the perfect spot? And I said, no, there's too many trees. And minutes later, I look up, and I see just this brilliant, bright flash of light up into the sky. So I immediately turned on the camera and zoomed in on it, and I got a string of lights that seemed to be going counterclockwise. And from there, they went away, and then a couple minutes later, one peeked in right in between the trees there. It seemed like it was off in the distance now, but it was in my view. The only way to explain this is the 2 trees on both sides of us was like the TV screen for the sky, and the lights was right in the middle. And one light turned into 2 lights, and they stayed there for the longest time, and then they went away, and then another light came in, and it was just, you know, it was amazing. I got all that on tape.
Now, this is not that far from where we are right now, right?
Right, right. This is just about a mile away from here, yeah.
So this happened right after you arrived, and you had to walk for a while, but finally you saw them.
Yes. We had to wait. You know, like I said, we waited for like a couple hours, and I actually gave up. You know, I gave up. You know, it was getting late. My son had to go to bed, so we're getting ready to leave, and I just looked one more time, and I saw them, and it was amazing.
How old is your son?
Oh, he's 10 years old. He's a wonderful little boy.
Well, I'm sure he is, Papa.
Hey, yeah.
Have you had other encounters like this? You always just see the lights? Are they very close?
Here in Arizona or?
Anywhere. Well, I mean, I'm very curious about that.
What got me into this is for the last 5 years, I've been seeing strange things in the sky, and it's not just here. Like, I've lived, and I was in New York during 9/11, before and after 9/11, and it was really funny. I have news reports on this. 4 months and 2 days, there was a string of lights out there at Lower Manhattan. There was 25 to 30 lights hanging around Lower Manhattan. In 4 months and 2 days, the whole world changed, 9/11. During the no-fly zone, during the day, my son was outside with his friend, playing with his friends, and he comes running up, Dad, a UFO, UFO. So I happened to look out the window, and I saw 4 silver balls connected together. The only way I can describe this is they're jumping jacks. You know, when kids play jumping jacks.
Right. This was in the daytime.
This was a daytime sighting, and they were connected together. They were at least maybe about 200 feet above us. I mean, they were just close enough that I could get a good look at these things. They were going counterclockwise, really slow, over our heads. And my son and his friend, his friend said, oh, it's probably just an airplane or something. Well, I'm sorry, I've never seen an airplane like that before. Right. As it went clockwise over our head, it started to go towards a park with some trees, and something caught my eye to the right. So I looked again, and it was another one. It was a silver ball with a red tip and a white tail, and it looked like that they were going to merge with the jacks. And as they were getting closer to the jacks, a tree got my way, and I didn't see anything else. Well, after seeing strange things like that, like back in November, I'm here in Phoenix, and I'm outside of my friend's backyard, and I hear a helicopter, and I happen to look up, and it's the sheriff's helicopter. And I look up 50 feet higher, just maybe 50 to 70 feet higher above the helicopter, and I see this white cylinder object. The only way I can describe this is a white cigar. and I could hear the helicopter. I couldn't hear that thing. That thing had no tail on it, no wings, and there seemed to be two triangles in the front of it going back and forth simultaneously. And as this craft turned, the helicopter turned also with it. Now, this was the sheriff's helicopter, and I watched it as it seemed to hang around one of the local malls here, and it was coming west, and then it turned south, and then started going back towards the way it was going again. And I thought for sure that it was going to hit the news. I didn't hear anything else about it. I'm sure that I wasn't the only one seeing this. Why nobody got a video of this or anything? I'm sure somebody did. I wish they would come forward, because I would love to get in contact with somebody who saw this.
Is there a way they can contact you here?
Yes. You can get a hold of me at my email address at www.ufojeff85210@yahoo.com.
And, of course, we have your email address when we run this interview.
Yes, sir.
And we have the videos as well, so people can contact you that way.
That's wonderful. That would be great news.
Maybe we'll get to the bottom of that. The sheriff's helicopter was shadowing this thing or following it or what?
Yes, it was directly under it. It was under it about 50 to 75 feet below this. When the craft would turn, the helicopter would turn. And the helicopter was not moving. There was an airplane that was seeing this thing also, and the helicopter had to force this airplane out of the way, because the airplane actually wobbled its wings to get out of the helicopter's way. The helicopter was not moving. It in my opinion, the helicopter pushed this airplane away and was directly under this thing. Well, for years, you know, I've been seeing things, drawing things, and my friends are telling me, oh, Jeff, you're crazy, you're nuts, blah, 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 you know. I figured that if I was going to come back to the desert, to this hot, dry desert, that I was going to go try to film some lights. Then we get back to the story. This guy in Gilbert was taping them, and then the lady in Paradise Valley was waiting a year. So I figured I'd come up down this way. I figured I wouldn't see anything for, you know, I'd sit here a year and not see anything, and then...
But that's not true. You've been seeing several things.
Yes. And right after the ballpark, that was my second night, right after the school ballpark there, I was thinking to myself, I wonder, you know, if I can find a little place higher. I wonder if I can get a little higher, you know, above the tree lines. So during the day, I took off, and I went up the road a few miles up, and I found this college with a set of bleachers, you know, like when they play football and soccer and stuff like that. And it's a high set of bleachers, and it's overlooking the trees, and it's just a beautiful shot of South Mountain. So I figured, well, hey, you know, how about if I just sit up here and just watch the sky and see what happens? And lo and behold, I have 34 nights of these strange objects.
Wow. So almost any time you go up there, it sounds like to me you see something.
Almost. Now, there's some weeks, like it seems that when the lights make an appearance on television, they don't come around for about a week or two, because in my opinion, everybody's looking for them. Everybody's waiting for them. And for some strange reason, they don't want to show themselves to everybody. In my opinion, I think they're showing the people who are spiritually aware, who are grateful that they're here, and who is here to spread the word. And so,
you know, when you talk about the Phoenix Lights, everybody always talks about the flares.
Right, and there's a big controversy out here with the flares. Matter of fact, I'm fighting the military on this to this day. One of the news channels here ran my story and went out to the flare droppings and videotaped some flares. And this last interview I did with the news media here, they had me take a look at flares, and then they had me take a look at my video, and I'm just sorry. You would think after 8 years now, the government would finally get this stuff right, but the flares and the lights just don't compare.
They're not the same thing at all.
They're not the same thing at all.
What do you think they are, the lights themselves? Ships?
You know, that's interesting. We just won't know for sure until we make contact. some people feel that the light itself could be the creature, or some people think that it could be the ship.
What do you think, or do you know? Of course you don't know, but you must have an idea.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you can't ask the people that are living today, because they're going to tell you that these are flares. They're going to tell you that you're crazy. They're going to tell you, you know, something that's, you know, that you know, because, you know, you're intelligent, you know what you've seen. So you can't ask the people today. You have to ask the people that lived here 2,000 years ago. And the only way to do that is to go see what they left for us to look at, as far as the petroglyphs, as far as the ancient writings that they left behind.
Now, down in the South Mountain area, are there Indian burial grounds down there?
On South Mountain, I'm
that
not.
You know of?
I'm not aware of
any quartz.
Oh.
The reason I asked that we got our own pet theory at the UFO files. We're beginning to think that there's a connection between the crystals in the ground and these sightings.
Well,
do you have a hypothesis yet, or you're just kind of putting it together?
I think if you do the research and if you do the investigation, and it seems like every time that these things come around in history, it's right before and right after the world seems to change. Whether there's a catastrophic happening, such as the flood, such as the ice age, they seem, in my opinion, something big is going to happen. I think they're here to evaluate us before and after.
Jeff, we talk about these things. You've had lots of encounters, at least seeing the lights. Has it gone deeper than that? Have you seen anything besides just the lights? Like an extraterrestrial, or maybe a contact?
Well, no. I'm still waiting. I've had a few dreams, that are kind of interesting, but nothing like...
No missing time and that you can think of.
I can think of, right, yeah, yes, right. Nothing like that. Yeah.
You don't all of a sudden have scars you can't explain.
Right. Well, of course, I haven't looked. So,
But you're showing no fear with these things. Basically, it's more of just curiosity, and you feel like they are, that there is a message there you need to get out.
Right. Right. You gotta look at it this way. If they were here to take over the planet, if they were here to hurt us, they would have done it back in 1997 when they flew over the city. So obviously, they're not here to take us over, and I think that they're here just to let people know that we're not alone in the universe and to let them know that they're watching. And as far as contact, now, there's been research on, I think it was President Roosevelt. I think he was the last president to actually make contact with these things. I know President Reagan mentioned it, I believe, 8 times in his speeches. That, what would happen if extraterrestrials came down. Matter of fact, that's what helped bring Russia and the United States a little bit closer together. Reagan asked Boris Yeltsin, was that the president's name? Yeah, he asked him, well, what would happen?
It was Gorbachev.
Gorbachev, you're right, excuse me. Yeah, Gorbachev.
He also made a statement at the United Nations.
Several times with the United Nations, yes. So, but I think... I think the presidents nowadays don't deal with that anymore. I think it's a higher power, higher than the president of the United States, that are dealing with this. And I don't even think, the president knows what's going on anymore.
I wonder why the Phoenix lights, why not Passaic, New Jersey lights, which they do have flaps in the east. In fact, one of the biggest sightings of UFOs was at Carteret, New Jersey, a couple of years ago.
So you got to ask yourself, well, how is people that don't know each other seeing the same thing? I'm working on the theory that the fault lines create geomagnetic energy called ley lines. And because of the faults, because there's a fault line. Now, I'm not too sure on other cities, but I'm working on this city here that... The Australia Mountain and the South Mountain was created by a volcanic eruption thousands of years ago, an earthquake. And it's because there's a fault line that runs in the middle of that. Now, the city of Phoenix, they put a power plant out there in the middle of that. And I need to do more research on this, but I bet you that the way some of these power plants work now is they draw off steam from underground to generate electricity. So you got to ask yourself, well, if this is true, if this thing is burrowing down into the fault line there to get its hot gases to make energy to turn on our lights, then you not only have the ley lines there, but you also have the power generator out there. So that's a lot of energy there. That's like an intergalactic gas station, pretty much. And these lights are hanging around right there at the power station.
Well, that's part of our theory that Larry Deccan, who you've talked to, and I've been, you know, we've been pitching this around to each other, and perhaps this is, as you said, a galactic service station of some sort, either the crystals or the electromagnetic power itself. You know, there've been lots of pictures of UFOs around power outages.
Yes.
Over
yes.
the years.
Yes, and we had a we had the power plant here in Phoenix go down on us, and it was unexplained. So, and then I remember in New York there was a power outage that wiped out two states. So, unexplained. Their explanation was there was a thunderstorm when the report said that there was no thunderstorms in the area at that time. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, Jeff, we're going to continue forward. I just wanted to drop by. Mesa here is a nice place, and especially is for you because you were able to see the lights within a week and a half. Huh?
Right. That's just awesome. You know, I thought I was going to sit here a year and not see anything, but...
We'll be checking back with you. Keep us posted, and we'll be putting those videos up. And we'd like to, if you get a theory or... contact, let me know.
I sure will, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jeff.